Welcome to the Wisdom from the Top of the World podcast, recorded at the Aspen Chapel.
Before I begin my brief talk this morning, I want to share a couple of scripture lessons. It will probably not surprise you that they come from the Christian lectionary for this Sunday, which is the fourth Sunday of Lent. Hear a word from the book of Numbers. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For is there no food and water? And we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of the people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit any man, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Hear now a reading from the Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light comes into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil in the light hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God." Our scripture lessons this morning reveal a divine presence in the world who is both loving, forgiving, giving, but also a little bit wild and unpredictable. Our passage from John's Gospel is often quoted out of context, one particular verse especially, John 3:16. You can almost guarantee that when you watch a football game, somebody has a sign behind the end zone saying, "John 3:16. But in the same way that God's grace is bigger than just one verse, the faith in the spiritual presence that the ancient Hebrews called God is bigger. It cannot be contained in
one faith, and it certainly cannot be contained in one church building. And so, Delphine, I'm not done talking to you, but this is really for everybody. Oh, hi, there you are. It is the hope of the one who baptized you and those of us who supported you that you will live a spiritual life that cannot be contained here at Aspen Chapel. Our passage from John's Gospel, if you read it out of context, sounds exclusionary. You could, if you ignored the rest of the Christian New Testament and the Hebrew Scriptures, you could come to the conclusion that if you are not baptized, then you are already condemned. But including the larger passage with the verse, I hope added a little more context. In the interest of further unpacking the verse, John 3:16, I also want to add a little bit of context to the story, because when Jesus says these words, it's not in a vacuum. He's saying them to Nicodemus, who is a leader of the Pharisees and a presumed enemy of the gospel and of Jesus' movement and his followers. But Nicodemus is a better truth seeker than he is a Pharisee. And so when Nicodemus comes to Jesus and Jesus says the words that I've just read, he's doing so with a heart that is seeking the truth. He's been told that what Jesus is teaching is heresy and dangerous, but he wants to find out for himself. He's not going to simply accept the words of his fellow Pharisees without proof. And so one of the things, Delphine, that I hope baptism confers on you is a desire to seek truth. And when once found, to defend truth. Now, our passage from the book of Numbers gives us one of the many episodes where the people of Israel rebel against God and against Moses. And in a familiar pattern, God metes out some type of judgment or retribution. Moses, ever the prophet, intervenes. God repents from the judgment and retribution, and in turn offers some type of blessing. In this case, healing. But the broader point that I want to make is that much of what God does, or when God reveals God's self to people, it's usually in the wilderness, and if not a literal wilderness, as our passage from Numbers, it's in some type of metaphorical wilderness. Now, in our modern world, we think of wilderness as being something very positive. It's something that we want to preserve. The 1964 Wilderness Act. That's what created the Maroon Bells Snowmass Wilderness. That's like our summer cash cow here. The Hunter Frying Pan Wilderness. The Collegiate Peaks Wilderness. What are some other ones nearby? Mount Massive Wilderness. And so on. Wilderness areas today have massive economic and ecological benefits to us. But in the ancient world, they had a very different view of wilderness. Wilderness wasn't some place where somebody could get away from smartphones and alarm clocks and be in a kind of in a more elemental state. Now, yes, the wonder of being in a place like the Maroon Bells Snowmass Wilderness, of being in a spot like Capitol Lake, of being in a spot like West Maroon Pass, that's made possible by the existential security that modernity has brought us. But in the ancient world, wilderness was much more frightening. And it sometimes meant not surviving. It meant not coming back if one ventured there. But just like today, wilderness, though it be a place of newness and discomfort, is a place where one can find revelation and refreshment and inspiration. After this service, we'll have a reception downstairs in the gallery. And you can look at some of the photos, some of the paintings, some of the works of art that have been done down there that reflect and capture the beauty of wilderness. But Delphine, something that's new and maybe frightening, maybe even a little bit dangerous, is meant to be explored. And the baptism that we've conferred on you is an invitation to exploration, to explore the relationship with this wild God into whom you are being baptized. And our scripture lessons this morning show a God who seeks after humanity and loves humanity, regardless of whether humanity seeks after or loves God. The scripture lessons, if you can peel away the layers of culture and time, reveal a God who has a distinct sympathy towards those who are suffering, towards those who are on the outside. That may be why he chose the people of Israel to begin with. So Delphine, and by extension, all of us, may we in our lives, in our spiritual meditations, in our learning, in our seeking, may we reflect the nature of God who is revealed here this morning in our scriptures and in our sacraments. May we reflect the nature of God who is revealed in the beauty of pristine wilderness. May we seek after, may we love humanity, our fellow people. May we keep a bias towards those who are hurting. May we be intrepid in our exploration and in our relationship. May we strive, may we seek, may we always be kind and compassionate. And may we stay wild. Stay wild, Delphine. And I just want to clarify, that does not apply to the terrible twos. So, but congratulations, Delphine. And congratulations to the people of Aspen Chapel for bringing a new spiritual seeker into the fold. Amen.
If you feel moved to make a donation to the chapel, please go to aspenchapel.org. Thank you. And if you'd like to receive these podcasts regularly, subscribe to the Aspen Chapel through Apple, Google Play, YouTube, or any other outlet.